If you would just close your eyes for half a second, say, Father, let my spiritual eyes be fully open. Let my spiritual ears and my natural ears hear what your Spirit is saying for your glory. And to have my heart in full perception and understanding of what you're teaching me through this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In case you forgot, about an hour and a half from now, we should be done. According to the watch or clock on my right. If you look at the clock on my left, we'll be done a lot earlier. One has been fixed and the other one is still waiting. I want you to come with me to Genesis chapter 4. That's where he pressed me this morning. Genesis chapter 4. And I want you to take a look at what redemption will do. Even before the Lord was released, he was already on the job before he came in the flesh. And I think that's important. We talked earlier about what Adam and Eve had made a choice to do, but God already had made sure that there was a way to be recreated, redeemed, and healed. It speaks of verse 1, Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord. Notice, she's not relying on herself. She's still crying out for help. I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. You say, well, what are you trying to show us? Well, I'm trying to show you that they were running on emotions like us. And many times when we run on emotions, we get into what? So the soul is visible by the downcast face. Amen? Anger is visible. How did the anger come? By jealousy? Because obviously, both of them knew what they should be doing, but one said, no way, I'm not doing it your way, God. I'm going to continue rebelling. I'm going to do it my way, and I just will continue to do that. Verse 6. Watch, the Lord said to Cain. If he said it, that means Cain is able to hear. Yes? Why are you angry? I love it. Then the next level. Why is your face downcast? Well, if you do what is right, you will not be accepted. I'm sorry. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Isn't that a warning? So is God showing his love in the warning? Yeah. It desires to have you. So sin is desiring to what? Have you and me too. All right? Nothing has changed in that corner. But you must master it. I love that part. He doesn't leave God totally in charge. He leaves man in charge of mastering the problem. This week we had a meeting, and we talked about some of the things that are going on. some of the needs that are going on. And we all agreed on one thing. There's a real ability for us to master what's going on in front of us and around us. The Lord had given me a word that we had many people in the church in a test. The test is real. If you think you're in a test, don't start thinking. It's already a reality. You are in a test. Mastering it is something that you and I must use the Word of God to change things instead of your head and instead of your emotions. I was talking to someone this morning and I said, you need to respond to the darkness. It wants to continue to overwhelm you and destroy you. The first thing you need to declare with your mouth, and sometimes you need to shout. And the person said, well, do you really need to shout? I said, yes, for your sake, you need to shout. You need to be angry at the darkness that is trying to capture you and overwhelm you with the lie that he's pushing against you, etc., etc. What is the lie? Whatever he's trying to destroy. It could be your health, it could be your wealth, it could be your emotions, it could be any one of the above. I should have heard an amen. All right. Verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will not be accepted. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now the problem should have been out of the way, right? Then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother? I mean, you know, at this point, I would have given Cain a good swift kick in the right place. That's so much for the human nature. I don't know, he replied. Talk about lying to the Heavenly Father, right? I have no clue, basically. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, I love it. Hasn't he learned from Daddy? That woman you gave me, she's the problem. Has anything changed?
No.
Thank you. The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Did you know that your blood cries out? If Cain's blood and Abel's blood has a voice, does the blood of Jesus have a voice? Yeah. One's crying out through the man, the other one's crying out from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be hidden from. Has anything changed? Has the maturity of the earth and its creation been taken away from the presence of the Most High? Yep. And if you think you can only be in his presence in the church, you've got a problem. You should be able to get into his presence anywhere, anytime, any day. So, he also declares, I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. What happened? He's now declaring his future, isn't he? Wouldn't you say he deserves another swift kick? Maybe in the mouth to shut it? I don't know if they had duct tape, but they could have used some. Amen?
Amen.
All right. 15. But the Lord said to him, not so. So God did not agree with him. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Whoa! So even as a murderer, God is on his side. So much for the law. Was grace operating at that point?
No.
Oh, yes, it was.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, it was. The next level is even more astounding. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Woo-hoo! Would you bless this guy?
No.
I would give him the third kick instead. Mm-hmm. I would give him a son like himself. That's what I would do. Teach him a lesson. Come on, am I the only one here? Are you looking at the nature of the man? And are you looking at the results of the Father who is redeeming everything he does stupid? Should that give you and me some hope? Mm-hmm. Even if I'm stupid in my actions and reactions, God says, I'm still going to bless you with an awesome creation. Did anybody forget who Enoch is? He's the one that was so pleasant to God that God took him. Whoa! That gives me goosebumps. That gives me hope. I've got kids that are misbehaving, doing stupid. And acting stupid. Come on. Am I the only one that's got some kids that are doing stupid? Thank you. Lift your hands right now. Say, Father. You did this blessing on bringing an incredible salvation
on a murderer.
What can you do for your sons and your daughters?
Are there any blessings
that he wouldn't push out
into my heart
to bless those that I don't deserve
because of my past?
Look at Cain's past. Was it a condition on Father's blessing? No. The Redeemer was in charge, and he's still in charge today for you and your house. Amen?
Amen.
He is not focused on your past. He's focused on the blood that cried out from Jerusalem to set the captives free. You got it. The next verse is quite important. He gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a...
Why was Cain building a city?
Didn't that kind of throw you off? He's been a guy that's been living in the fields, offering up the vegetables. Now he's building. What happened to him?
He had a vision of the future.
He had the vision of the future. Right on. Are you living with a vision of the past? Are you looking at an example of the future because of what you did and what he did in the past? Sometimes we all get caught there. Cain was, to my book, a traitor. He was a murderer. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. Yes? He was full of anger, jealousy, you name it. And still, he now decides to build a city. Where and how did he change? He even was cast out of the presence of God. Yes? And he knew it. And still God blessed his wife and him. Gave him this incredible son. Then the next part is kind of cool. And he named it after his son Enoch. Now, I don't know what the meaning of the name Enoch is, but that's a nature. So I'm going to leave that with you. Because I believe that there's a hidden truth in God's coordinates in his word. There are no accidents with God. And I want to kind of take you to the next level. Because Jesus taught us a prayer. He taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your nature. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. But deliver us. Is that prayer one of self-reliance? No. It's totally dependent upon God. How many of you had a bad week? How many of you have had a testy week?
Testy.
Okay. If you rely on your own energy to pass the test, my suggestion is change it today. Pray that God will not lead you into temptation. Because temptation comes in multiples of levels. Amen. Temptation comes in ways that you do not have an ability to do it on your own. And when you cry out for deliverance, he is the Redeemer. He is the Deliverer. He took care of Cain and Abel. He blessed Cain in spite of his stupidity. And he wasn't stupid. But it was stupid actions and stupid reactions and jealousy that was working on him. And God still blessed him with the most precious, awesome son. That he would even name a city after him. And you know what? That bears research. To me, it says, what about all those that have been failing in my family? What about all those that are having a hard time in my house? How about all those circumstances that don't make sense? Am I still capable of depending on the same Redeemer? Was the redeeming factor visible from God when he's treating this murderer with such blessings? Yeah. And the Savior, our Messiah, had not even come in yet. Yes? I mean, you know, how much more can he really show his nature than to this murderer? I want you to kind of close your eyes for a moment. Did you ever have anybody in your life that you hated so bad that you wanted them dead?
Yes.
Just lift up one hand. Don't look around. Thank you for your honesty. There were some people in my life that I wanted them gone because of the intensity of the pressure and the pain. And I couldn't take any more. And out of moments of desperation, the thoughts would enter in. Well, if they were only dead, you'd have at least 5 minutes apiece. And 5 minutes apiece didn't come. But the peace came when I began to thank the Lord for the way they were. That's why we still give out Prison to Praise. That's why that book changed my life. Because it changed my prayer. It changed my perception. And yes, when you have someone in your heart that you want dead, you are a murderer, so I qualify for, you know, thinking like Cain. I mean, why should you bless that guy? He doesn't even work in the field. He does absolutely nothing except watch his animals have sex, and then he offers one of the babies. Well, come on. Come out of the woods. No work involved. Just watch what happens naturally. Right? The animals are going to have what? Intercourse. They're going to have first fruits. And God is saying, offer me one of the best. Don't offer me one that's broken. That was a picture of our Savior. There's one of your own that I'm going to bring into the world perfect. He's going to be perfect and he's going to be carrying every one of your sins. That's an awesome Redeemer. It's not a plan that Satan could ever devise or discern. Some people think that, you know, Satan has all knowledge. Baloney. He would have never crucified the Lord of glory if he knew that it was going to backfire on him. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Father, I trust you.
Father, I trust you.
To take care of my needs.
Take care of my needs.
According to your riches and glory.
According to your riches and glory.
And those that I hold in my heart.
And those that I hold in my heart.
That need to be receiving.
Need to be receiving.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
Precious babies.
Precious babies.
Greater than themselves.
Greater than themselves.
Like you did with Enoch.
Like you did with Enoch.
Way beyond.
Way beyond.
My expectations for him.
My expectations for him.
Do the same for mine.
Do the same for mine.
That's what I'm asking, Father.
That's what I'm asking, Father.
Your nature hasn't changed. I need some incredible grandchildren.
I need some incredible grandchildren.
Far beyond my understanding.
Far beyond my understanding.
If I've got some grandchildren. Bless them beyond my understanding. If I've got some spiritual ones. That need a blessing today. Bless them as well. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. How many of you that this prodded something within you to change your mind a wee bit? Thank you. If it changed your perspective of our Father and our loving Father, even with the old covenant, there was hope, and there was blessings, and there was grace. How much more after the Redeemer has done his work? Amen?
Amen.
Any additions? Yes, dear.
I just wanted to say that part of the scripture where it says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. I think what Mary Jo shared about her experience.
Yes, she mastered it.
Is
right, that's right on there.
Example.
Oh, I don't know if
that.
I mastered it. I don't know if I mastered it.
Well, you did the work.
Thank you.
See, if you carried the work, I thought of the same thing.
And I believe she's going to be blessed.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
There's something that more for her where she is now. And she's going to be blessed.
How many relate to what she was pointing out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? See, the measure of the nature that is actually starting to flow. And when I say starting to flow, I remember this one particular time when the Lord was calling me to accountability. Okay? And I went to a particular store to buy some curtains that my wife wanted on my way home. So I stopped in Ludlow. There was this particular store. I don't remember the name of it. But it's no longer there. Bottom line, I bought two curtains that she wanted. I come home, she said, you know, honey, I don't really like them. Not the right color, I say it didn't blend in with what she wanted, etc. I said, well, it's no big deal, tomorrow I'll stop by and I'll just get a refund. They really didn't have any other colors, so I'll get a refund or a credit slip or whatever. Well, the lady made a mistake in my favor. And she gave me more money than I needed, whatever the numbers were. I really was kind of, my focus was to get to work on time. So I really didn't count what was in my hand because she gave me back cash. I had the receipt. And I'm in the car. And the Holy Spirit said, you're stealing. You're stealing? Count what you got in your pocket. Well, I had an extra $10. So she must have registered three of them instead of two or whatever, however. So I go back in, and I've got the money in my hand, and I've got the receipt that she gives you, you know, that... I said, you gave me an extra 10, and I think your cash register is going to be in trouble tonight. She said, you're kidding me. Now I'm questioning, why is her response? I would have never done that. She says, what in the world? You know, you're very strange. I said, well, I am a little bit strange. And she gives me another receipt. I give her back her 10. I said, thank you very much, and I walked out. Now, here's the sneaky redeemer, you know, the accuser, okay? I walked out, and I said to the Lord, I didn't give you any glory. I'm so sorry. I should have said, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, has done something. He said, what's written in the back of your T-shirt when you walked away? And I thought, oh my God, what T-shirt have I got on? And it said, to God be the glory. So I'm now in the car praising God all by myself. It wasn't a T-shirt, it was a sweatshirt. It said, God be the glory, and it had some other stuff on it. So God knows how to get glory even when you're wearing something, you know. Isn't that kind of cool? And that's what I was thinking of when he sent me back into that little store to give him back a $10 bill. I will tell you, the enemy wanted me to think differently. Share some hugs with each other.
Next Sunday is Fellowship Sunday.
Yeah. Agreed.